Welcome back, everyone. Week 10 Fantasy Football Weather Guys here to discuss the weather impacts that we're going to see. We have our on-staff meteorologist, Sean Bratton, and our analytical genius, Dr. Nicholas. Oh, wait. Yeah, Nick Schiraldi. Sorry, I just had a brain.
It's because it's week 10. Yeah. Time's flying.
How's everyone doing?
Awesome. Doing great. Week 10 coming up here. We got Thanksgiving right around the corner, my favorite holiday, so I'm getting pumped up.
I just can't believe it's week 10.
I know. It's do or die for playoffs and regular season DFS when you're trying to scrap together some wins for some money so you don't end in the red. That's kind of Thanksgiving to think about 2 weeks from now to watch Thursday football. It'll be it's weird. You know, up in upstate New York, it's still warm. I don't know what to do with this weather. 70 degrees in November.
It's going to cool down soon there.
Yeah. It'll feel a little bit more seasonable next week. Thank God.
And actually ties in well with what we're going to be talking about today with our weather impacts.
Oh, yeah? How is that so, Sean?
Well, we got our worries that front. And that front is going to be pushing in some colder air behind it. So things are going to seem a little more seasonable, more fall-like in the coming week.
Okay. Well, to get to that, I'm going to bring up our new and improved weather impact table. We hope to push this live to our website soon for all of our viewers and users. So what you have up on the screen now is our new weather impact table. The games are color-coded based on the caution or no weather impacts. And what you also have is if you click on a game, you can then, like, I'll just bring up the Jacksonville Green Bay that will be our first game that we're going to talk about. You can see that the borders correspond with what we're seeing as a possible impact, and then what part of the weather is really providing that impact. So wind is really what we're seeing here. So Nick, you want to go through this weather impact we're seeing at Green Bay?
Yeah, so let's just talk a little bit about the weather for Sunday across the country. If we pull up our weather maps, an interesting system. Kind of a low pressure system dropping in southern Canada, and it's going to go across the Great Lakes moving through Sunday. Here it is starting to build. You're looking at precipitation and mean sea level in the GFS.
What is the GFS for our users that don't speak the lingo of you weather weenies?
The GFS is the Global Forecasting System. It's the what you'll hear commonly referred to as the American model. And this is pretty important because we're going to compare and contrast the American model a little bit here for the New England game, which may have the most significant chances for rain throughout the entire game this weekend. But we've really got two types of weather events happening. We've got wind event in Cleveland, and we're going to talk a little bit about precipitation in the rest of the Northeast. So as the system works its way through the country, we're going to see a big uptick in winds in Cleveland. It seems like Cleveland's really been the windy city this season. We've seen a lot of wind impacts in Cleveland, and we do think, again, Sunday, wind is going to be a big player in that game. And we're also showing a little bit of wind risk for the Green Bay-Jacksonville game, as Colin had mentioned. We don't actually think the wind is going to be that big of a deal for this game. The strongest winds are actually located east of Wisconsin, more towards Cleveland. So with Green Bay is going to kind of be on the trailing end of this front. And most of the weather should actually move through by the time the game gets underway.
So I'm at 18Z. So for our viewers, that is, oh my gosh, I'm going to try. That's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
That's 1 o'clock.
One o'clock. So, but that's actually up to that point, and then this takes us till about 3 o'clock game time. So you're saying that the winds will probably push through and actually not be too much of an impact. And as we've always seen, you know, we've said it before in many weeks that Aaron Rodgers isn't really impacted by the weather too much. So I'm gonna just pose this to Nick. Do you want to run down all five games, or do you want to go game by game? I, you know, kind of just going on the fly with this show this week. Do we want to?
I would say game by game.
Let's go game by game. So I don't think there's too much of a story in Green Bay. Again, Green Bay is not really that affected. Again, you've got the rookie Jake Luton starting in Jacksonville, who actually had a pretty good week last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
He had over 300 yards and a TD and an interception. This may be a similar matchup for him, too. He had to play catch-up with the Texans, with Deshaun Watson. And that game was like 27-25, I believe. Or it was a higher-scoring affair. And they let Jake Luton, they let him throw the ball. He had almost 40 attempts in that game. So that shows me that they have some confidence in him. And I think he had like 26 completions out of the 38 attempts. So we may see a similar thing here. We know Aaron Rodgers just dominates at Lambeau. I expect a huge game from Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. We saw a similar game against the Vikings a couple weeks ago where Devontae Adams put up three TDs. So I expect much of the same this week. Luton may be like, you know, he's a rookie. He's playing maybe in some windy conditions. But if you really need somebody that's a, you know, out of the box player, he may have some upside because the Jaguars have shown they're willing to go to him when they're down and having him just launch the ball. So maybe a good play.
Yeah, it's interesting. In this game, I had picked up Mason Crosby in our league before I really saw the wind. So hopefully that doesn't come back and bite me in the butt. But, you know, hopefully the wind stays down and Mason Crosby can get a few three-pointers in.
Yeah. And speaking of kickers, we've been getting a lot of inquiries about kickers. We're still in the development phase of getting our statistics and stuff for that. So we'll be getting that out hopefully very soon here. But we are considering kickers. We just got to just firm up our stats with that.
So before we move on to the next game, though, I really want to say two things about this. One, Nick, you squeaked out a win against me, which really drives me nuts because New England.
It was like a 1-point margin.
Because New England sucked against the Jets. And two, for DFS this week, I'm paying up for Devontae Adams, $9,000 in DraftKings. I think he's the most expensive player that there is available. But I mean, you look at his stats; he's targeted in the red zone 13 times, which is more than anyone, or second most, I think I found out. You know, 30 catches, 422 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he had an appendix issue. So, you know, I just think that I'm paying up for him this week. I have other things that I'm paying down, but I like the Devontae Adams play. I don't think this game is going to be too impactful. So as we go back to our...
That's a pretty good matchup against the Jacksonville defense, too.
So if you go back...
bottom tier defense.
Yeah, as we got... I pulled back up the weather table for our viewers. So we're going to go to the Houston-Cleveland game. Now, this game, I would rank as our number one to watch next to the New England Ravens game. You know, we saw what happened 2 weeks ago with the wind against the Raiders. We're seeing sustainable winds around 26. You know, I'll let Nick talk about that in a second. But I think that this game is really one to watch, really to look at the over-unders on. The last time the under was, or the over, you take the under on this one last time it, again, this week, it's at, I'm just pulling my notes up, sorry, is at 49. The one that I think with the Raiders was at 50. So I think, you know, we got to talk about this. Nick, why don't you talk about the wind here?
Yeah, so it's going to be another windy event in Cleveland. It may not be as windy as the game on November 1st. We're probably looking at 25 to 30 mile an hour sustained winds. And I think on November 1st, it was a little bit more like 30 to 35. But still, this is a substantial wind event. Wind direction is the same. It's a very similar system coming across the Great Lakes. And there's also a chance of some lake-enhanced precipitation running throughout this game. So definitely we're expecting wind impacts. Stay away from kickers. I would avoid Baker Mayfield in this. I would avoid Deshaun Watson. I am in my own league, actually. I'm torn between Watson and Roethlisberger. I'm hoping Roethlisberger comes off of COVID. But I think this game has bad news written all over it again.
I will say this. Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, we've seen this before with Baker Mayfield against the Raiders a couple weeks ago. Like Nick said, we don't expect the winds to be quite that high, but we do expect them to be substantial enough to have an impact. And don't count out precipitation. There could be some lake effect as we have some west-northwest trajectory to our winds going across the lake that may provide some precipitation. So we may have another combo event here. We're more confident in the winds, but don't count out the precipitation. So Baker, Deshaun Watson, As Nick said, I'm staying away from them. I'm not buying up on them at all. Although some people in DFS are paying up for them because of that matchup, especially Baker, because the Houston just gives up tons of yards. But I'm not there.
I am. I have a interesting DFS start that I'm going to play for $3,900. I got to grab my notes. I was looking off the side. Austin Hooper, tight end. 23 targets in three games. This is actually, I misspoke. He had the appendix issue, not Davante Adams. Apologize on that mistake.
Adams was hamstring, yeah. But that's okay.
But 23 targets in the three games that he played. He's had at least five receptions. $3,900 in a game that could be short dump passes, maybe some red zone work. I think Austin Hooper may be a tight end that you take if you're trying to get the value for the DFS.
Are you all at all worried about them? Baker had, I think, not even 150 yards in his matchup against LA. You know, you are playing a Texans defense that, again, just gives up a ton of points, but there's only one pass to a tight end against when they played against Los Angeles. I think Njoku had one catch for like 19 yards. Are you at all worried about his volume? Or are you just relying on him hitting those targets in the red zone?
I'm trying to rely, because I think a tight end, you pay for the touchdowns. And I mean, I think that's kind of, I mean, that's how I play with the tight end because of the value, unless you want to go up for a Kelce or for, you know, one of those. But I feel like, yeah, to answer your question, Sean, I'm relying on the risk for the tight end on the upside to hopefully get some DFS point or, you know, get the value.
So right now, Deshaun Watson is going $6,900 in DFS. Jared Goff is going $65. $100 difference between Deshaun Watson and Jared Goff. Jared Goff is facing off against the Seahawks, who have given up an unbelievable amount of passing yards to opposing offenses.
I know. Look what the Bills did to them. I'm so happy about that. I got to shout that out. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy this year for the Seahawks. Just absolutely nuts. A wrist injury. He may be out. We're still waiting on news. They're thinking he's going to play. But are you confident enough in Deshaun Watson here? Or are you going to pay up for, like, a Jared Goff?
I'm taking Josh Allen this week, but the question between those. I mean, I have so much hesitation in Deshaun Watson as it is. I think he's got some tools, but I think I'm always scared when Fuller gets the ball if he's going to get hurt. You know, I think that Cobb. You know, he's to me a little bit ancient. But he has some upside there. But I think in this matchup with the weather and the pending and complete like what we saw, I would pay up for Goff over Watson.
I would be going Goff as well. I mean, I mean he'd be like almost my QB of the week. I think he's gonna, especially if Cooper Kupp is in there. Deshaun Watson found his stride a little bit last week. He had 280 yards and two TDs. But in this one, and I'm going to bring up a stat that we've been looking at, and we've been kind of arguing about this today. But we're looking at QB, throw the ball, what is their velocity when they throw the ball? And Deshaun Watson, believe it or not, is on the lower end of that spectrum. So then we started talking about, well, the winds are going to be picking up maybe 25, 30 miles an hour. And some of his primary targets, like a Will Fuller, are more of the deep threats. So is this going to hurt Fuller in this game, or hurt Deshaun Watson in this game? Is this going to limit his upside? Because we're thinking, our rationale is, well, if he's throwing the ball weaker, that may have a higher chance of being influenced by the ponder. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
You know, you bring up velocity, and it's really interesting. I mean, I will even, I think the, you know, I read an article about this too, and like the tight spiral and the beautiful look of a ball, and you know, you think that could, I'm not a physicist. I would say it's an interesting theory. I think it would be very interesting to watch what happens. To me, though, I don't think Watson has a weak arm. I think you get into the NFL, like, and I think I have to be careful when you're not saying he's a weak arm. I think it's a relative of 5 miles. Like, I think the velocity.
But he's on the lower tier of arm speed when it comes to throwing the football.
I mean, I don't think buy it.
You're not buying.
I don't buy it. I think you can still be an efficient passer if you're throwing the shorter routes. And if it's windy, it's going to affect the strong arm velocity, same as weak arm velocity. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, so here's a question then. Are you taking Brandon Cooks here with he's going for 5,600, or are you going Will Fuller 6,700? So are you paying up 1,100 for Will Fuller for that potential?
No.
Are you going to be looking at more Brandon Cooks? That's more, a little bit more guaranteed volume. He's been getting at least like 8-9 targets a game.
I mean, between those two, I have such a bias with Fuller. I call him Mr. Glass. I'm terrified. He's one throw away from an injury for the rest of the season. I mean, he's got upside, but I would take Cooks any day over that for that price.
I'm in agreement here. I mean, I think I'm a little worried about Fuller. We've seen him disappear. I'm afraid that may happen this game, especially if conditions get a little bit out of control. Aaron Fells, Warren, Brandon Cooks to get the job done against Cleveland. In Cleveland's defense, their passing defense, I was looking at this earlier. They weren't awful. I'm going to have to take a look. I was looking at their stats for passing, but they weren't awful. Well, they dropped a little bit. So recently players have been able to pass a little bit on Cleveland, but I don't know. I'm still just staying away from everybody in this game. I'm just not super confident with the weather.
So before we move on, I have a question for you. I've got Duke Johnson sitting on the bench. And David Johnson's questionable with the concussion. There's a lot of rumblings that he won't be coming back. Given the weather, do you think there's an upside to Duke Johnson going against his old team, the Cleveland Browns?
Last week he had 16 carries, but only for 41 yards. But he also had 4 catches for 32 yards. So I think especially in PPR formats, he's going to add value here. He's been a proven pass catcher. He was when he was with Cleveland. I think that continues. I think he'll get the opportunities. It doesn't surprise me if he gets upwards of 5 targets. He hasn't proven to be the most effective as far as efficiency on the ground, but they may give him a few more carries, especially if, you know, the wind's influencing the passing game at all. So I think he's going to have an okay game. I think solid baseline.
So to regroup for viewers who just joined, sorry, go ahead, Nick. I know you're going to go back on your conversation.
No, I was just going to say, I agree. I think that, I may end up putting in my lineup. I think it's an interesting play.
Yeah, I agree. So what was the choice between Duke and who?
David Johnson. Was it David Johnson?
David Johnson's questionable. It looks like he's probably not going to get the start, so it'll be Duke Johnson's as the lead.
What do you have for other options?
Right now, if I pull up my roster, I've got DeAndre Swift and Miles Sanders in. Miles Sanders is going to be interesting. We're going to talk about the Giants game in a little bit.
He's questionable too, but
I think it's a good segue. Just for our viewers who just joined or have joined midway, we were talking about the Houston Texans at Cleveland Browns. I brought up our weather impact table. That'll be live soon, our new weather impact table, so you can see what actually the winds, the temperature, and the precipitation. We're really seeing the winds again in Cleveland, and we're following the front that's passing through on Sunday. So moving on to our next game, which we were just about to talk about. So we have our Philly, the Eagles at the Giants. I mean, talk about, you know, a matchup of the ages, of course. But we're seeing some rain here, right, Nick?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take us to our precipitation map. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Nick, you may just quickly, I mean, we're not going to spend a lot of time on Pittsburgh, but it may be worth just a consolatory discussion on Pittsburgh.
Did I skip over Pittsburgh? That's coming next. I'm going down the line of our
chart.
Oh,
I thought you were going, okay, west to east. Okay.
Yeah. We'll hit Pittsburgh next. So the Giants game is definitely a precipitation event. The question with this game is going to be timing and intensity, as it always is. There are some pretty substantial differences between the American model and the European model in terms of rain intensity in New York and when it's through. So the American model is a little bit more progressive. We're seeing about a tenth of an inch of precipitation falling on the ground during game time, which seems to be a pretty reliable forecast. Winds will be somewhere between 15 and 20 miles an hour. Moderate wind speeds, but probably not impactful. So the biggest question is going to be field conditions. And how well can these guys hold on to the ball, right, Sean?
Yeah, and we all know, at least Giants fans know, the Jones era of football is all about turnovers. So, receptions, that's just been the storyline line for the New York Giants this year. Now, I'd be playing, I wouldn't be hesitant to be playing the Eagles defense, especially obviously against the Giants, but also in a weather-prone game where they may have a little bit more of an aptitude to get some turnovers in this game. On the other side of the ball, Carson Wentz has really started to pick things up a little bit as of late. He started to pull a ton of turnovers, but he's been picking it up a little bit. And DFS, he's going for around $5,900. I don't know if it'll play him. I mean, I'm a little bit higher on the Giants secondary than some. Right now, we're under on this game is, I think, only like 43 points or so.
44 and a half.
Yeah, it was up to 44
and a half.
Over under here, especially with weather between these two offenses, it's going to be tough. I am a little bit more. Carson Wentz is getting some weapons back. Alshon Jeffrey may be coming back. He's been practicing. You got Jalen Reagor, who got into the game the previous game. And you also have Fulgham, who's been doing really good things this year. So he's increasing his targets. I think Dallas Goedert may be active as well or soon. I forget if he was going to be active this game. But he has a full set of weapons that he's going to be able to play with this game. So I'd be a little bit higher on Carson Wentz. I just expect to turn the ball over a little bit more.
I mean, Eagles held, the Dallas to 9 points? I don't think Dallas, you know, isn't that great anymore. But I think that the upside, like you're going on the defense, is there, but $3,600 in DraftKings. I mean, $3,600 for a defense. I'm usually when I'm setting my lineup, I'm scraping the bottom for around, you know, a solid $2,000-$2,300 play. You know, I don't know. That's a lot for a defense in DraftKings, but you know, it's interesting. That game may be more boring than we hope for. Sorry, I'm all...
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Carson Wentz had 43 attempts the last time they played the Giants, 25 completions, with over 350 yards and two TDs, and he has a full set of weapons here. So if I'm going with either QB, it's definitely going to be Carson Wentz in this one. And he did mix up a little bit during, you know, Dallas didn't have a great game, but I fully expect him to come back after a bye week against the Giants.
We've got... two games in our sample of Wentz playing in medium to significant rains. Both games he threw for two touchdowns, 255 yards, kind of just an average career game for him. So we really haven't seen much of a performance downside for Carson Wentz, but he really hasn't been tested in the rain either.
So, Sean, I would agree. And I think we have the same deal with, I was just going to say, I think we have the same deal with Daniel Jones. He played a couple last year. I was actually going to try to look him up. Yeah, I just don't think we have anything in our system with Daniel Jones yet. He played in a couple rain games last year, but.
You bring up that he threw for over 40 passes, but he only completed 25. But I mean, he did have 359 yards against the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean.
So what does that tell you? The Giants are prone to big plays. They gave one up against Terry McLaurin last week. And I expect that to happen this week. Potentially as well. I mean, they're just prone to big plays. So Carson Wentz could have a big week. In our league, he almost had 40 points against the Giants.
So Jared Goff for 6,500. I'll bring up your question. Or Carson Wentz for 5,900.
So Jared Goff or Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
I'm going Jared Goff. Yep. Full steam ahead, Jared Goff.
Okay. So I'm going to bring back up our weather table. And we're going to now go to the Cincy-Pittsburgh game. So everyone, you know, as our viewers get on, this is going to be our new weather impact table. And when you click on it, it will then change the game. And it will show the border caution, but then which part of the weather is driving our caution extreme. And this, again, is the rain that we were talking about. But it's slight. And it's kind of more of a honorable mention discussion, right, Sean? If I go to the precipitation map.
Right. Yeah, right now, as Nick mentioned, there's some inconsistencies in our models about when this front pushes through. What we anticipate is that this front is going to push through a little bit quicker than we thought earlier in the week. So I expect, for the most part, conditions to be pretty dry over Pittsburgh for at least most of the game. There may be something very early on, but I don't expect it to stick around very long. The models have it drying out. They have it pushing out. And that's where the tendency that we see the models trending towards. I don't think it's not going to be a wind event. It's going to be rain. So it's not like this is going to pass by and we're going to have wind, at least not significant.
So what I'm showing to the viewers is this is about game time, and the rain has already pushed through. And then if you go even further.
No, it's actually, they have a 4 o'clock, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So at game time for them, it's actually the front's over more central to eastern PA.
Right.
And there may be some trailing showers with that, but I don't think it's going to be significant. I don't think it's noteworthy. And plus, to be honest, who really cares? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is still a question mark. He's going under, COVID testing. And then you have, Joe Burrow on the other side of the ball. If Ben Roethlisberger is not playing, are you really interested in playing Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool with a really subpar backup? If that's the case, I don't know. If Ben does play, he's not really impacted by weather. So either way.
Yeah. So coming up to our.
Not a huge lot to talk about that game.
Now coming up to our last game of the week. That's our, I would say.
So Colin, do you mind if I just mention just something quick about the Giants game?
I do mind. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
So the other thing is some players are wondering about is possibly Miles Sanders. How do you feel playing him against Giants defense? So Nick, you have Miles Sanders in our league. How do you feel this week going with the current weather conditions?
I do have Miles Sanders, and I do have him starting right now. I haven't seen much information about footing in New England. In Giants Stadium at MetLife. Is MetLife a turf field?
It's AstroTurf.
Right? Yeah. I really don't think, I don't think there'll be many footing issues. I don't really think weather will impact Miles Sanders too much in this game.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. If not, I think he's going to get an uptick. I mean, we've seen him be a really force to be reckoned with when he's healthy. And the Giants have just sometimes really a lot of trouble, defending him or defending running backs as pass catchers. So I expect him to get a lot of work early and often. So I wouldn't mind spending up for Miles Sanders in DFS. I think he could have a good game against the Giants.
What is his value in DFS? Do you know?
Great question. Let me bring that up here. We have Miles Sanders.
I was trying to find.
Where is Miles Sanders?
It's Emmanuel Sanders. Sorry. I got him. No, not Emmanuel Sanders. Miles Sanders.
No, that's
Yeah, I don't.
It's
definitely not Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, it's
no,
definitely
that's,
not. I know.
Wide receiver for New Orleans.
No, I know. I misspoke. Thank you. I don't see him. I don't think he's available.
Miles Sanders on here.
I don't either.
Unless he's so low because they're considering him injured.
Right. He is coming off injury.
Oh, no, I don't know.
He's still questionable with the knee injury. But most of the projections I've seen is that he's game time decision and is likely to play.
He's likely to play. That's what I'm seeing as well. What the recent reports have been. And weird enough, I don't see him on the DFS options here. So I don't really know why that is because he's a Sunday game.
I don't know. Yeah.
We can belong.
So I'm going to bring up our game log again. So our last game, which we would say is probably the second most impactful game, and it's really the rain that we're going to see as that front moves through and at to the 8:20 game is Ravens at Patriots. And this is right at game time and then through game time. So you don't like this model. I know, Nick. This is the American model. He has some issues with this one, but he also has provided me a different graphic to show. And this is the precipitation. Yep. I'm trying to find. There it is. Cape Cod. There we go.
Yeah. So this is the precipitation forecast for the ECMWF from 0 to 06 Z on Monday. So throughout the game. And the GFS, the American model, is just more progressive with the storm. So it's moving out of the area almost before the game even starts, as you can see in the graphic Colin has up right now. In these storms where there's this kind of transfer of energy offshore, the American model does tend to be a little bit more progressive, and it generally tends to be wrong when it's doing that. So Given the synoptic setup here or the large scale atmospheric pattern, I'm siding with ECMWF. I think there's a potential that, especially in the first half, this game could be very wet. And I think it's likely that the rain totals we're showing in our table are actually under forecast. So I think this
so
could
our
be.
Point,
yep, so our 0.09 is probably a little bit too low. I think you'll see that go up to probably 0.15 or something like that over the next few days, unless the EC starts to trend towards the American model, which is always possible. But this could be a heavy impact rain event, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is the highest risk for as far as precipitation, the Cleveland game for wind and then the New England game for precipitation. And we have two big quarterbacks starring in this game as the Ravens travel to New England. We have Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton. How are we feeling about starting these guys in this game where we expect potentially heavy rainfall?
Well, we do have some analytics that we ran, and we know Cam Newton does not do well in the weather, and we've seen him this year. He does not do well this year. Also, Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's $7,100 on the DraftKings. It's going to be a run-heavy game, I think. I think it's going to be a run-heavy game just based on the game itself without the rain. If it's rain, it's going to even go there more. I think Baltimore just stomps the Patriots. And I think, to me, be honest, there's so many other options for the value of at least $7,100. And I would not start Cam Newton. I just don't. I wouldn't. That's my opinion.
Yeah, in rainy games, his passing yards, he's only eclipsed 200 yards two times out of the...
You're talking Cam Newton,
I think I have seven or eight
right?
games. Set Cam Newton. I'm sorry, did I say Lamar Jackson?
No, you just said he. I just didn't know who you were talking about.
I'm sorry, Cam Newton. We have seven games in which he's played in some precipitation. He's only eclipsed the 200-yard mark passing two of those times, and just barely in one of them. He had 211 yards and 246 in the other. And his TD totals look to go down. I'm a little bit concerned about the Patriots moving the ball effectively. They did it toward the end of the game against the Jets, but let's face it, they're the Jets. I think he's going to give you a rushing baseline, but don't expect a big game from Cam Newton in this one. We just haven't seen him have a big performance in rain, and I don't anticipate that to happen against a Ravens defense. Speaking of the Ravens, we also have Lamar Jackson, who is this like one or two QB going into this year, but I actually read an article, and what Lamar Jackson is saying is that defenses are picking up on what they're doing. They're reading the audibles and play calls, and people know, defenses know what they're doing.
And especially that, Belichick. Belichick will know
especially, what he, that was going to be my point, especially a Bill Belichick defense who, I mean, let's just face it, they're smart with this stuff, cheating or not, right?
Okay,
So Lamar Jackson has not had in any rain again. We've had three rain events for him. And he has not eclipsed 150 yards, and he's only had one TD max in these games. So I think this may be another rushing potential game for Lamar Jackson, but he's just been capped this year. He's only maybe had one or two really big-ish games. I don't think that's going to happen again in this one. Right now, the over-under on the New England is 43.5. So that's even Vegas telling you. We're not super confident with this. I'm so
tempted to take the over on this one just because I think the run game will actually score more. But
yeah, I mean you got Dobbins that's really wanting to get into a groove here. I think this is going to be a close one. I think if what Nick mentions here, this rain comes to fruition and it's heavy rain amounts, I just have trouble envisioning these offenses getting up to 44 points. But that's me.
Yeah, that's one to watch, and definitely follow us on our social media at FF Weather Guys on Twitter, Facebook.
Quickly though, with this, like, if you're thinking about pass catchers,
I wasn't ending.
What's that?
I wasn't ending. I was just getting to my.
Oh, point. I thought you were ending on.
No.
So I was like, oh wait.
No, don't worry, Sean. I'll let you know because I know you got to get that last word in. Trust me, Sean always gets the last word. So I was just saying, you know, this is definitely one to watch. So we'll, you know, because like Nick was saying, depending on what model comes to fruition with the storm and when the front. I should be careful with my terms. So to me, I think, you know, I'm staying away from any player in this game in DFS. I think that, you know, you have some upside possibly with Baltimore running game, but you know, that's what I was just saying. I was just doing a little social media plug, Sean. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not. I would maybe be thinking about like a Dobbins here potentially. The pass catchers for the big pass catchers for the Ravens were supposed to be Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, and they're just not doing what they're supposed to be. Defense are just stifling. I mean, Nick Boyle is the big pass catcher, the big tight end on this team right now. So maybe you give him a glance area look. He's been doing well. But other than that, I'm not looking many. I'm not super confident in anybody in this one. And Vegas is speaking to that. It's a sub 45 over under. So
yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that's the one. I think that may be the lowest one of the week. I didn't.
One of them, yeah.
So now I'm going to start at the end, Sean, unless you want a last word.
No, I would just say to Colin's point, the big thing with this is the timing of the storm, right? So we're going to be giving constant updates. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more of a model consensus Friday going into Saturday. We'll be able to pinpoint more specifically of the games. Right now it's Cleveland in more New England, maybe the Giants. Keep updated on social media, and we'll keep updating you.
Yeah, to kind of speed round, we are watching five games with potential impacts from the same front. We talked on the Jacksonville-Green Bay game, not really much to really talk about there, as the win and possibly front will move through before game even starts. And we know that Aaron Rodgers isn't really influenced. I think they're going to pass to Davante Adams all day in that game. We're going to go to the Houston at Cleveland. And that's the game to watch. That's our number one game. We're going to have some high sustained wins again. Not maybe what we saw against the Raiders, but it'd still be 26 mile an hour sustained. So we'll watch that game. Philly at Giants. You know, we're going to watch that the possible rain may move out, but it may be very rainy for that game. And then I'm going speed. Oh, then our honorable mention game, Cincy at Pittsburgh. You know, like we said, it's probably gone by the time that game starts. But then the one to watch to follow us on social media is the Baltimore Ravens at Patriots because of when that rain's going to hit and what that does to both the quarterbacks. Oh, man, I'm out of breath. That was fast. I should have just did that first, and then we could have had a five-minute show. But, you know, it's been great. I love this week, you know, these weeks that we have weather. Nick, I'm still kind of upset about that the Jets basically ruined me getting into the playoffs right now. And as always, it's good to see you guys. Any last words before we sign off?
Well, Colin, of course, you know I'm going to get a last word, right? That's already been established. I did find Miles Sanders. I didn't even realize I already had him in my lineup, so I didn't see him in the queue. But Miles Sanders is $6,400 going right behind Josh Jacobs and sandwiched between Chase Edmonds. So I'm picking him over both of those options.
Nice. Nick? Cool. Anything else?
Have a good week.
Yeah, have a good week, guys. Great show. See everyone next week.